matter what people say. You got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest syndicate.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. So my weekend was actually very awesome. One of the best weekends I would say I've had in a while. So for those of you who are not aware, I celebrated my 36th birthday this past Wednesday on December 4th. Yes, that is correct. Jay-Z and I share a birthday. This year we decided not to celebrate together because we didn't want to, you know, stir any pots. But but I turned 36. So I'm still in the 30-something, still within the theme of my show. I don't know what I'm going to do when I turn 40, but I'm still within the 30-something, so I can still keep the tagline. I could still I can still move forward with the with my agenda here. But I just wanted to take this time to thank everyone who, you know, shouted me out, gave me a special happy birthday message. For those of you who exercised your vocals and left me singing grams or whatever, voice notes with you singing happy birthday, I truly appreciate that. This weekend, I had, like I said, I had a very great weekend. I spent it with some very awesome people. So really shout out to them for really coming together and making my birthday, you know, more than what I expected it to be. So we're in Sag season, it's Sagittarian season, Sag Nation, all of the Sagittarius hashtags. We are currently in the best zodiac sign ever. You guys can say whatever you want to say, but anybody who knows a true Sagittarian knows that we truly are one of the best people you will ever meet. Do we have our faults? Yes, we do. But at the end of the day, they do not overshadow the greatness that we provide to the world, right? So aside from myself being an amazing Sagittarian, I wanted to take this time to shout out some other amazing Sagittarians who celebrated birthdays recently. And I didn't get an opportunity to shout them out on the radio show because I've had some replays for the last couple of weeks, but it is never too late to let people know that you're thinking about them and that you care about them. So I'm trying to go in order here. So November 24th was my brother's birthday, Fred Pierre. So he turned, I'm not going to get in trouble so I'm not going to say how old these people turned, but either way, my brother Fred celebrated his birthday on November 24th. And then my our Madam CEO, Jamie Bowles, she celebrated her birthday on November 30th. And then my sister Camille celebrated her birthday on December 1st. And then my aunt, Assemblywoman Rodney Spichot, celebrated her birthday on December 2nd. And it's really interesting as I'm, you know, looking at the women in this list, Jamie, my aunt, my sister Camille, myself, I feel like we all truly have like the Sagittarian traits. We're very ambitious people. We're go-getters. We're very intelligent people. And we're also very compassionate people. And so they're definitely, I know not everybody believes in the zodiac and I don't live my life by it, but there is something to it. There is something to the zodiac. And I just wanted to shout out all of my family members and Madam CEO, who, you know, recently celebrated birthdays these last couple of weeks. I am not shouting out any more people because I know that I am entering dangerous territory by attempting to shout out all of my friends and family who have celebrated or are celebrating a birthday within the Sagittarian season. So you guys know who you are. Happy birthday. I will send you private messages. But considering the fact that we're talking about my brother, my sister, my aunt, and the owner of the radio station, I feel like it was fitting that they got a personal shout out on the show. So happy birthday again, you guys. So on today's show, we're going to talk about the office holiday party season. So we are knee deep in the holiday season. I mean, Christmas music is playing all over the streets. We know there are mistletoes and wreaths and trees all over the place. Like, there's no doubt that Christmas is literally around the corner, right? And so with that happening, we know that it's office holiday season. Every office across the globe is celebrating in some way by having some sort of office get together, office party, etc. And so, as happy of a time as these, you know, events or these office parties are supposed to like lend, I truly believe that a lot of times these office parties are a way to catch us and to set us up. I mean, I don't know. We're talking about office party. Like, I went to an office party the other day where we were like literally in a club. The drinks were flowing. The food was flowing. I mean, it was the perfect atmosphere for a disaster, if you know what I mean. So today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the office party season and how not to get got, how to maintain decorum and, you know, professionalism while still having a good time at these holiday parties. I think it's really important. I have seen a lot of people fall I've seen them fall victim to the holiday parties because they either drank too much, they started gossiping to the wrong person. I mean, I've seen some things, and I would like to, I mean, although the season has already started and people have already been, you know, I guess, engaging in holiday parties, it's not too late. It's not too late because we're early on in the holiday party season. I think in the next couple of weeks is where we're going to see a lot more heavy. So hopefully you will be able to pick up some tips before your next holiday party. Or if you already had yours and you were able to survive it, maybe you can save somebody else from some sort of embarrassment. So you definitely want to keep it locked and tune in for that. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know, it's time for our preliminaries. So it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm on fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary phrase of the week is holiday friend. A holiday friend is an acquaintance that you only speak to on the holidays. Example, Haley states, Stacy, that girl from first hour just sent me a happy Thanksgiving text, and she sent me one on Halloween too. Claire then responds, I know, me too. She's such a holiday friend. I mean, I think the definition speaks for itself. We all have these holiday friends in our lives, right? These individuals who only hit us up for Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, I don't know, Kwanzaa. They don't really hit us up for any other reason. You know, they probably really don't care about what's really going on in our lives. But they recognize that we might be people of interest at some point and that they might need us at some point in their life. And so they use the holidays to maintain that sort of like connection, right? So, you know, a couple times a year, you'll get the happy Thanksgiving, happy, you know, Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Easter text messages. And that's all you'll really get. You may be lucky if they throw in a say, oh, I hope everything is fine, or how are you, or whatever, and keep it at that. But for the most part, we all have these individuals who only communicate with us during the holidays, and we all know it's because they're looking for something in the future. They're just making sure that they're setting the stage, laying down the foundation so that when they want to be able to ask whatever they want to ask, they can do so without feeling like a total loser, right? I would also say, like, if we're talking about the dating relationship world, men and women, because I'm trying to be equal opportunity here, use holidays in ways to get at the other individual as well, in my opinion, because I've had several guys over the past couple of years that I want nothing to do with, and I would hope that they know that I want nothing to do with them. But for whatever reason, we don't talk, but when Christmas comes, like, I'm getting happy, you know, Merry, I keep saying happy Christmas, Merry Christmas text messages. When Thanksgiving comes around, I'm seeing happy Thanksgiving, nothing else. But, you know, there, it's like you're stuck in, I guess, in a rotation of some sort, right? So we all have these people in our lives. I mean, is it problematic? I mean, I don't think so. It is what it is. You know that you're probably part of a rotation. You know that we all have people who are using us in our lives. That's just the reality of things. And the holiday friend situation, I mean, some people do take it to heart. Some people are very offended. They're very upset when they realize that somebody is just, you know, I guess their friend for the holidays and they only communicate with them for the holidays. But I guess my advice to you is it's not that serious. I mean, if you don't talk to this individual, but they want to send you a happy, I keep saying happy Christmas, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Maybe that's where the happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year text. I would just leave it at that. I mean, you don't have to respond. Clearly, you don't have to respond. Just take it for what it is. I mean, just know that at some point, it might not be this year, it might not be next year, but at some point, this individual will be reaching out for something, because there has to be a reason why you're in a rotation. It's either they're sending a mass text to everybody in their phone book, or they are just, again, buttering the bread so that when they're, you know, looking to really make a real move, you know, you can't say that, oh, I haven't heard from you from years. Oh, my God, it's been such a long time. Where does he think, or where does she think she's, you know, going by asking me for a favor? It's all strategic. That's one thing I realize about this life. Everything is strategic. And unfortunately, the people in your life, in our lives, because it happens to me too, you know, it's not everybody's genuine. Not everybody's out here for your best, you know, interest. Not everybody's truly happy about knowing you. You know, it is what it is. So holiday friend, it's a real thing. We all know them. You know, you can choose how you want to deal with them. I would say ignore them. You get the Merry Christmas text and move on. If you want to respond, you respond. And if you don't, you don't. And that's that. So that is the word of the week. So this week, I really don't have a big up of the week. Not to say that there's not any big up worthy things out there. I'm sure people are doing amazing things. But I did want to take this time, though, to to give an RIP to Juice WRLD. Now, to be very honest, I'm going to be very transparent. I don't know who the hell Juice WRLD is, but my son does. And so, you know, after having a conversation with him this morning and then going on social media and just doing a little more research on this guy, I was like, you know what? It's always sad when a young brother, dies. Like it's always a sad thing. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I really don't care, you know, what they were really doing. It's always sad when you hear of a young, you know, of the demise of a young brother. So as I said, I have no idea who this guy is. Maybe I heard a song from him. I don't know. I'm getting older. I really can't keep up with all of these children rappers. My only saving grace, to be honest, in being relevant in these millennial streets is my son. He's the only one. And so this morning, you know, as I was getting ready to make moves, my son comes in and he's like, Mom, I have some bad news. And I'm like, oh, well, what happened? And then he goes, one of my favorite rappers died. And I'm like, who's that? Because with these kids, it's like every week it's a new person. And he's like, Juice WRLD. And at first, the jerk in me wanted to be like, boy, like, go sit down. Like, I thought it was his grandmother. I thought it was an uncle. Like, I thought it was somebody like of importance within our lives that something happened to. And I wanted to just dismiss him. But the last time I did that, you know, he was like depressed for a week. I don't remember when this was. I think it was last year. But at that time, his favorite rapper, Temptation, had died, and he was like so distraught. But at that time, I was just like, suck it up. He's a rapper. Do you know him? Like, why are you so upset? But I'm realizing that, you know, with these children, it's like they take these things to heart. And then I had to really step back myself and remember when I was his age, when I was young, and, you know, we had these celebrities that were dying, these rappers, like when Tupac died, I don't think I ate for a week. When Biggie died, I don't think I ate for 2 weeks, you know, and I was fairly young when, you know, these rappers died, when Aaliyah died, like it was like the end of the world. So I had to, you know, I'm an adult now and I'm able to like see things differently, but I had to kind of step into my teenage years, preteen years, and really recall like how I felt when, you know, a rapper or a singer or somebody that was not related to me that was on the TV died. So he was explaining to me a little bit about the rapper, and he was just like, yeah, you know, he was 21. He died, you know, of a seizure, and he was going through all of this. And I was just like, you know what? I think what really hit me was like, man, it is sad. It's really sad. Like, the kid was 21. He's a fellow Sagittarian, just like me. And, you know, he lost his life. Thank God it wasn't, you know, through any type of gun violence or alcoholism or, you know, drugs or anything like that. Although I'm not really 100% sure. I gotta go back to the drawing board. But they said he had a seizure. I'm assuming it was some sort of condition that caused the seizure. But either way, I just wanted to say RIP to him, because he's important to my kid and he's a human being. And I feel like, you know, everybody is starting to talk about him now. I am starting to see more on social media about him, but it is really, really sad. And so my heart definitely goes out to the family members, all the fans, I guess, all the young kids who are out here. I mean, it's apparently tragedy in these streets. These kids are really mourning right now. And so I really do feel bad for them. I really feel bad for my kid. Like, he really was on some like, mom, I have bad news this morning. And I was just like, wow. So I definitely want to, it's not a big up of the week, but it's definitely, you know, I don't know, a moment of silence for Juice WRLD. So this would be the point where I would say with every high, there is a low, but clearly that was not a high. But this week's Womp Womp of the Week goes to Uber. And I'm highly, highly disappointed about this Womp Womp, only because just a few weeks ago, I was singing the praises of Uber. In fact, they were my big up of the week because of that story that, you know, the story that was heard around the world, where the young woman found her husband by taking an Uber pool. And I bigged up, you know, more so the Uber driver, because he helps facilitate this Black love making special. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just like, wow, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're discouraged from taking Uber pool because we got places to go. We don't want to be going around the whole entire town of Springfield. And sometimes you just really don't want to end up in cars with creepy ass people. But this time I was like, wow, you know, the Uber pool, for those of you who are single out there and who are really looking to, you know, broaden your horizons because Tinder's not working for you anymore, Uber pool was an option. I mean, people literally were, you know, got married off of Uber pool situations. And I was like, this is amazing. You know, Uber is providing all these services aside from providing water in the back seats and candies. They're also providing matchmaking services and all this other stuff. And then for the last couple of days, all I've been seeing in my DMs, all I've been seeing in my chat groups was this Uber fiasco, this sex scandal, Ubergate, as I call it, where Uber reported 3,045 sexual assaults in the year of 2018. And these assaults were like, they were physical assaults, they were sexual assaults, they were sexual harassment. And I'm just like, I mean, the number is, to me, sounds astronomical. I don't know. I'm not an actuarian, but maybe it's not as high as we think. I don't know. But it sounds alarming when you're telling me that there's been 3,000 something complaints or over 3,000 something complaints of sexual misconduct going on behind an Uber. And so for me, it's concerning because I take Uber a lot. I'm in an Uber at least several times a week, not because I am a baller, but because I just don't know how to make good decisions in life. And it's cold outside. The weather outside is frightful. So that's concerning for me. Just, I mean, I'm not going to lie. There has been at least on two occasions where I was in the back of an Uber and I told, you know, the GPS told him to go one way and he went an opposite way. And I thought that I was going to be dropped at the bottom of the Hudson River, to the point where I was like texting my friends like the cab number, and all the windows were up, and I definitely lowered the window down just in case I needed some sort of like way to like bust out the car. Like, I really had all of this going in my mind. I've watched enough of these movies, these TV shows of crime stories or whatever, to know what I need to do. So I was prepared. So I have felt the sketch on a couple of, you know, a couple of occasions riding an Uber, but I felt like this was just really ridiculous to me. But then I had to think about it again and say, wait a minute. What is the real screening process when it comes to Uber drivers? Because it looks like anybody and their mother can drive an Uber. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it looks like to me. I've been into some, like, what is the regulation? I've been into some cars where I swear cockroaches were also taking a ride with me. The odor of the car was out of control. Like, the car was broken down. Like, I don't know what the screening process truly is, but I feel like they need to step it up a little bit. Like, I feel like if you have four wheels, you can be an Uber driver. There's no type of like real background check or anything. And I think that's where the issue lies, because if you think about it, you know, there are all of these stipulations and stuff for, you know, sex predators, sex offenders. They can't live near a school. They can't work with kids. They can't work with whatever. But I don't know if those same stipulations and regulations are placed on Uber drivers who are transporting women, transporting children and whatnot in these streets. And yes, I say transporting children because there are many of you out there who are okay sending your underage children, and when I say underage, I'm saying like 14 and below, in an Uber by themselves. I personally have been side-eyed by family members, by friends who are just like, oh, why can't you just put your kid in the Uber? And when I, you know, when I say no, they looked at me like, oh, you're too much or you're bougie. That's not the case. I am not going to have my underage child trapped in a vehicle with a potential sex predator or pedophile or whatever it is. Like, it's one thing for me as an adult to, you know, be in the back of an Uber car, whatever the case is. But a child, you're putting a child, you're sending your child in an Uber. Yeah, you could GPS track them, but what happens when they go off the radar, right? Like, what are you supposed to do about that? I would much rather have my kid take the public transportation, MTA, be on a crowded bus, be on a crowded train with many witnesses. If something were to happen, somebody hopefully would be able to come to my kid's rescue. But when they're trapped in the back of an Uber car, like, what exactly are you supposed to do? Especially if this is an individual who does have these tendencies to target children. Children are known to be vulnerable. Like, what is my kid supposed to do? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I find it to be very problematic, but I feel like, I guess it is a wake up call since we're all about regulating everything. And, you know, I feel like there have been regulations talk when it comes to Uber and the other ride sharing companies, but it's also been in the form, it's always been in the form of like, you know, money. Like, we, you know, the Uber drivers want more money, or the, you know, New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission or whatever feel like ride sharing is stealing their, like, the conversation has never been, at least I've never heard it, been on the safety of passengers in these ride sharing places. Now, a lot of you have also stepped out and said, oh, you're going to boycott Uber. Never again. I don't do Uber. All this extra stuff. I'm never riding Uber again. This is ridiculous. I'll be the first to say right now, I am not boycotting Uber. Just like I did not boycott H&M. Like, the boycotting culture is very interesting to me. We're not boycotting Uber. Why? Because you need Uber. Are there options like Lyft? Yes. But what is the difference truly between a Lyft and an Uber? It's not the caliber and quality of their drivers. In fact, many of the Uber drivers also drive for Lyft, also drive, well, drove for Juno and other ride sharing companies. Lyft probably has not presented their report as of yet, but I'm pretty sure that their report might be similar in number. I don't think that it's an inherent issue with Uber. I feel like it's the ride sharing mechanism in general, and the fact that there is a lack of regulation when it comes to it. And now, because there's this big push on human trafficking and all this extra stuff, now I think is why there is such a, there's a light now shown on Uber and their like sexual assault statistics, because I'm sure in 2017 there were numbers as well too, and in 2016. And so I think my thing with the womp womp of the week, yeah, I guess it goes to Uber. I mean, in general, because I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, it's just by way of whatever. Uber has to be the womp womp because Uber is the one that has the 3,045 complaints against them for sexual assault. However, I think the lesson in all of this, or what we should really take away from this, is that there needs to be some real regulation. Do we need to start screening processes on who, you know, who is driving Uber? Who is driving people around? You know, do we have people with schizophrenia driving people around? And again, you get into some, you know, situations and some commentary about, you know, the ADA and discriminating on people with disabilities and whatnot. But I think that we really need to take a look at this, because I'll tell you right now, I don't believe that these numbers, like, I feel like these numbers have probably always been the same way. The private cab companies before Uber, like how many, I feel like those companies are actually even worse in a sense. It might have even higher incidences because they're not regulated. There's no GPS tracking to see where people were going. Like there's nothing. You get into a car, you know, one of those private cars from those like, you know, local gypsy cabs or whatever, and you're at their mercy. Nobody, you're not able to share your ride with anybody. Nobody knows where you're going. So nobody really knows how many of these incidences took place or currently take place at these other, you know, cab and limousine companies. I mean, I think that it's great that there is light being shown on this particular issue and that people are up in arms and are wanting to do something about it. I just need the real energy to be pushed toward some sort of policy, some sort of like legislation, some sort of rules and regulations, as opposed to jumping on a Uber canceling bandwagon when you know damn well you're going to be in an Uber tomorrow, right? Because Lyft and Uber is the same damn thing. The same drivers drive for each company. There is no, like, I would say 9 times out of 10, your Lyft driver is also an Uber driver. So let's think about that before we start, oh, I'm canceling Uber, you know, Uber's canceled, I can't believe this, Uber disgusts me. Like, no, like, let's not do that. So now we're on to the meat of the show. So as I said earlier, it's holiday season, holiday party season. Everybody is looking for that holiday turn up with the, you know, with their colleagues. I mean, I personally love holiday, you know, office parties because it's just another opportunity for me to eat good food and to drink good drinks. Some of these employers are providing top shelf liquor, top shelf whiskey. But like I said, it's great. It's, you know, it's a great time to sometimes bond with coworkers that you probably never thought that you would ever bond or even communicate with. It's also a good way to, you know, converse and have real FaceTime in a less stringent setting with some of your supervisors, some of your bosses, etc. But with everything, you have to be careful, especially when it comes to the office workplace setting, because although these holiday parties are parties, it's still a professional environment. It's only an extension of your office. Like, this is not, you know, oh, we're at the club now, we're gonna engage in club-like behavior. Your party might be taking place in a club, but the HR is still watching. You know, your supervisors are watching. And it's funny because I had heard a story of a supervisor who actually would walk around. He always had a cup and people always think that, you know, they always thought that he was drinking, but he actually only had like club soda. And the reason he did that was because he wanted to be alert so that he could see the debauchery, hear the debauchery that was going on at the holiday parties. And he would use that, I guess, in in his assessment or his review performance or whatever, performance review of the employees. Because for him, it wasn't just about what how you acted and what you did in the physical workplace, but how you engaged and talked about your colleagues outside of the physical workspace, which I think was very, I think is very genius in a sense. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things that I think could hopefully save you from making an ass out of yourself this holiday season, keep your reputation intact, and, you know, more importantly, keep your job, because the last thing you want to do is lose your job during the holidays. So when we think about holiday parties, you know, people are always thinking about, okay, what do I wear? This is more so for the females. The females are always wondering about, what do I wear? You know, how do I show up and show out, etc. And I think the first thing to acknowledge is that it's still an office party. It's not the club, even if it's based in a club. It's not the club. It's not a lounge. This is not the time for you to pull out your skimpiest outfit, your shortest skirt, you know, the dress with the lowest cleavage. This is not the time to show people what you're really working with. I mean, my thing is this. I mean, if you are, you know, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Forget it. I won't say it. Either way, what I'm trying to say is that this is not the time for you to show up and show out and to be extra flashy. You want to look nice, yes. You want to look nice in an appropriate way. So you want to dress appropriately. So you might not want to wear something that has too much cleavage. You might not want to wear something that has your entire back out. You might not want to wear something that's super short, because you're still in a professional-esque environment, even if it's not, you know, during the 9-to-5 workday. It's a holiday party, yes, but you still want to be a little bit conservative in your attire, because people are watching, and the people are watching are also judging. And you could be like, I don't care what people have to say, but when it's your supervisors and your bosses forming these judgments about you, like, you might want to care. So the other thing I was going to say is with respect to alcohol. So alcohol, I think that this is probably the most important. So put 3 asterisks next to this. This is the most important piece, because this is where the downfall begins. Like, this is where the ugly begins. Like, yeah, you can wear an inappropriate outfit and everybody might be talking about you the next day or the next couple of days at the, you know, at the office party. But the alcohol situation is really, I think, what tips the cake and what causes most of the debacle, right? So, I mean, for me, when I do the office office holiday party scene, I try to keep my liquor intake to 2 to 3 drinks, 3 max, depending on if I'm drinking like wine or whatever, but no more than 3. People out there say keep it at a fixed 2, but I will say 2 to 3. Again, it's a holiday party, and, you know, depending on what your tolerance is, you might be able to get away with the 3rd drink and be like totally fine. I would say keep it to 2 to 3 drinks. And even if you do have a high tolerance, and you're like, well, I can go for a 4th and 5th, I would still keep it to 2 and 3, because people are still watching how many times you go to the bar to get a drink. So it's not always about how, like, shit-faced you're going to be, or how, like, plastered you're going to be, and how sloppy you'll end up after having all the drinks. It's also how many drinks are you actually ingesting? And people are watching that. Like, there are people who show up at the holiday party just to observe what's going on, supervisors and colleagues alike. And so you really just don't want to give people a reason to talk about you. And again, I understand it's time for fun. It's time for all this extra stuff. You know, it's a holiday party, but it's a holiday party for work. It's not a holiday party with your girlfriends or with your peoples or with your organizations or whatever. It's a holiday party for work. So it's a slightly different beast. So you definitely want to make sure that you watch your alcohol intake, and you keep it to between 2 and 3 drinks. It was funny. I was also reading somewhere where they were encouraging people to make sure that you coat your stomach beforehand. And I totally agree with that, because I personally am one of those individuals who never remember to eat. Like, I drink And I never remember, you know, I never remember to like coat my stomach beforehand. Mainly because whenever I go out to drink, I don't plan to like drink mad drinks and to be like trashed or anything like that. But because I actually like alcohol, I, you know, one drink could totally end up being four drinks without really even noticing it and without feeling any real effects until like it's too late. But for holiday parties, people always assume like, oh, well, you know, there's going to be food there. So I'm going to wait till I get there to eat and then I'm going to start drinking. But if you really think about it, when you get to your holiday party, the first thing you tend to go for is the drink. Like that's the first place, that's the first stop you make is the bar. Or if it's one of those posh and fancy parties, drinks are being served to you at the door. And by the time you work the room, you're probably hit the bar 2-3 times, or you are probably served at least 2-3 drinks before you even make it to the food. So that's how a lot of people get got, because they think that, oh, I'm just going to eat when I get there. But then you start drinking and it's too late by the time you realize that, crap, I got to have food in my system. So they say that if it is holiday party day, make sure you either have a heavy lunch or that you ate something before going to the holiday party just to make sure that something was in your stomach. Because like I said, a lot of the real issues stem from the the misuse of alcohol. I mean, there have been years where I've seen people literally plastered on the floor. I've seen people throwing up at the holiday parties. I've seen people blabbing out people's businesses, you know, at the holiday parties, talking bad about the company. You know, if you were sober, you probably would not have done that. But because you have the influence of alcohol, or you're under the influence of alcohol, rather, you're out here acting a fool and, you know, sticking nails in your coffin, right? So when it comes to alcohol, I mean, it's a holiday party. Nobody's going to tell you not to drink, but you have to kind of know yourself. If you know that you're somebody who has some issues holding down their liquor, you might just want to drink club soda all night, or drink ginger ale all night. Or if you must have something, drink a glass of wine and keep it moving. If you're somebody who can handle your alcohol, even though you can throw them back like the best of them, you might want to just keep it to 2 and 3, because again, people are watching to see how many times you went to the bar. And again, yes, you can say, well, this is a company party, or I paid to come here, so I'm going to get my money's worth. That's nice. But what's more important, your reputation or the $50 or $100 you spent to attend your holiday party? I think it's best to, you know, take the L on only drinking 2 drinks for your $100 ticket than to, again, not have any income, not having any paycheck coming to you for the holiday season. So you really have to choose your battles when it comes to that. What is more important? The other thing that I would say is, the holiday party is an opportunity for you to network with different people at your job. You know, Joe, who sits next to the printer that you only say hi to when you go to make a copy. I don't know. It's an opportunity for you to kind of break out, talk to the different departments, and just really, you know, mingle in a socially acceptable, professional way with the rest of your staff. Be friendly. Don't be a Grinch. A lot of times what we tend to do is we create our clique. So, you know that two of your girls or two of your boys are going to the holiday party. You link up with them and it's kind of like your little circle all night. You're drinking together, laughing together. You're not engaging with anybody else in the office, anybody else at the party. You're just kind of there with your own little clique and that's it. And I think that that's a little, you know, I don't say dangerous. That's a little too harsh, but I feel like, that's not really the point of the holiday party. I think it is to kind of get people out of their element a little bit and really, you know, engaging with one another. And you never know, like, you know, what that conversation might lead to. It might lead to, you know, another job opportunity that you didn't know about. It could lead to, I don't know, some sort of mentorship. It could lead to a lot of different things. So you don't want to sell yourself short and just go to the holiday party and just talk to the people that you talk to all the time. Allow yourself to open up, meet new people, start new conversations. And it's like an investment in a sense in your future, right? Because you don't know how that individual might be able to help you in the future. And so it's all about improving ourselves and placing ourselves in positions to move forward. The other thing that I tend to notice is that people never know when to arrive at the holiday party and how long to stay. Because some of us really are not interested in mingling with these people we work with. Like, it's just not something we want to do. But because we know we have to show up and make an appearance, we do so anyways. And that's the other thing that I would say before going any further is that with the holiday parties, you want to show up. Don't decline the invitation for your office holiday party because it's going to make you seem like some sort of recluse. It's going to, you know, create this reputation for you that you're not necessarily a team player, and you don't need all of that. You get the invitation for the holiday party, you show up, and you know, you do your, I don't know, the 30 minutes to an hour, and then you leave. But I would say never, never not go to your holiday party unless there's a real reason behind why you can't go. Make the effort, show that you are a team player. And so with respect to now going back to arrival, I would always say get there on time. If you don't want to be there anyways, you don't have to worry about making fashionably late entrances. You don't want to be there anyways. Get it out of the way. Show up on time. You know, stay there for about, I would say, if you really don't want to be there, stay there for at least 30 minutes. Do what I call the acte de présence. You show up. You make sure everybody sees your face. Hi, Sally. Hi, Jim. You know, you shake some hands, you maybe drink a cocktail. They see you working the room with a drink in your hand. Maybe you go to the appetizer table. You bob to some music. And then after that, you make your rounds. Oh, this was a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for inviting me. See you guys in the office tomorrow. And you call it a day. I would say that is for the people who really just want to go in and go out. Like, how long do you stay? I mean, it's subjective, but I would say 30 minutes would be fine. 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. Now, with respect to individuals who are like, yes, they were waiting for this holiday party all year, my advice to them would be, don't stay too late. Get there on time, but don't stay too late. Like, I've heard of people like shutting down the office party, like shutting it down, like the DJ is breaking down and they're still there. And some might think, well, yeah, it's a holiday party. Like, why wouldn't we stay till the very end? Well, I feel like there's a stigma for that as well, too. Again, I personally find that the holiday party setup is really there to, to set you up in a sense if you don't know like how to really maneuver it, because there's just so many traps. There's so many ways that you can get got if you're not fully armed and prepared with information. So yeah, it's cool to be there. Like if it's from 9 to like midnight or 9 to 1 a.m. or 7 p.m. to like, I don't know, 11 or whatever. Yeah, it's great to, you know, get there at 7, be there for a couple of hours, dance, drink, eat, whatever. But I feel like once it starts getting like, you know, late and you start seeing like some of the partners leaving, you start seeing some of like your supervisors leaving, it might be a sign that you too should leave, because most of the time these holiday parties are held during the week, which means there is work the next day. It's not like it's a Friday and then Saturday everybody's going to sleep. A lot of these times, these holiday parties are on a weekday, which is again where I get my theory of the setup, because you're going to have a holiday party on a Tuesday night where it's open bar, you know, free food, the DJ is hitting, and you have it from like 7 to like 11 or 7 to midnight. Like, come on. And you know that you have to be at work the next day at like 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. Like, I don't know. That's just my theory. It is what it is. But I feel like, yeah, it's cool to go, but don't shut the place down. I feel like there is something to say about that. What that is exactly, I don't know. But there definitely is something to say about going in and shutting the place down. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the most important thing is that you show up, yes, and you spend some time there, but shutting the place down knowing that you have work the next morning early, I feel like you have, that's where your responsibility comes in, right? That whole like, ooh, priorities. What do? Continue to turn up or take my ass home, show that I'm responsible, I did what I needed to do, and now I'm going to be ready and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for work the next day. people might have different opinions as to that, but I feel like, especially the more corporate you are, I feel like sometimes your movements have to be a little bit different. Whereas maybe if you were working in the government sector and it's not that big of a deal, people will roll into work at 11 the next day. You know, it's fine because it was a holiday party the night before. All right. But I don't know. I think that you just have to take the temperature for yourself on that. But that would be my opinion with respect to that. So, I mean, so I think really at the end of the day, when it comes to holiday party decorum, it's just making sure that you are not making an ass out of yourself and that you are still showing that you are having a good time and that you're appreciative of all the effort that went into putting together this holiday party, but that at the same time, you know, you're being professional and understanding that the eyes are still watching. You're still being evaluated, even though it's a holiday party and you're assuming that everybody is just having fun. I think that more and more employers are looking for individuals who are, I don't want to say well-rounded, but who know how to handle themselves in all situations. So not just, you know, corporate situations, like I'm at work, the 9 to 5, but also outside of the office space, right? How do you conduct yourself in social settings? Because depending on the industry you work in, you may have to, you know, engage with clients in social settings. And so what a better way to analyze how your employees act, you know, with the temptations of alcohol, food, and drink than at a holiday party. So I think we really just need to be very vigilant when it comes to this season. I think, I mean, like I said, I've seen a lot of soldiers fall to, you know, they fell victim to the holiday party situation. And I feel like it's definitely something that is very much avoided. You just have to kind of put some steps into motion, you know, show up on time, put a time limit on how long you're going to be there. Make sure that you stick to the 2-3 drink minimum. You know, make sure you eat something before you get to the holiday party. When you're engaging with your colleagues and supervisors and whatnot, you know, keep the conversations light. Nobody needs to know that you, you know, have a herniated disc or that you just came back from the hospital, unless they ask you. But nobody needs to know about the divorce that you're about to have. Like, this is not the time for you to be sharing intimate details of your life. You keep it light. You keep it airy. You don't gossip. Don't bad talk the company at the company party. You know, I feel like if you if you keep it simple, you keep it chill, you know, you dress appropriately. Again, just because the party's at a club doesn't mean you have to dress like you're at the club. I think that if you follow like the holiday party decorum, like you follow the etiquette procedures that are put into place for these things, you'll be fine. Because I've already heard stories for this year, and we just started holiday party season, just started, and there are people who already are on like final warnings at their jobs or are under like serious watch and key because of their behavior. And it's usually because of alcohol, which is why I overemphasized the alcohol situation. It's usually alcohol. Like, that's usually why you're blabbing about, you know, trade secrets, or you're bad talking your supervisor, or you're talking about how much you are not in alignment with company, you know, policies and missions and whatnot. It's usually the alcohol that's giving you the courage to be this bold person that you should not be at the holiday party. So with that being said, I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday party season. I'm not sure if this is going to be my last episode for the year. I might have another one or two in me. It really depends. We all know once the holidays roll around, it starts getting harder and harder to really sit down and, you know, do interviews and really get things together, because everybody is busy and we're just trying to close out, you know, the fourth quarter strong. But in the event that it might possibly be my last episode for the year, I just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you for all of you who supported me throughout this year of 2019. It's definitely been a year of growth, a year of learning. You know, I had some amazing guests on the show. And like I said, I feel like I still have another one or two episodes in me. I do have a couple of guests that I would love to try to get in before the year end. But if it doesn't happen, there will definitely be in the queue for 2020. But with that being said, everyone, have a happy, happy, happy new year. Merry Christmas. Peace, love, and prosperity to everyone. I'm saying all this now knowing that I'm probably going to be saying the same speech again in the next episode or the episode afterwards, but indulge me anyways. Have a good week, and hopefully if I don't talk to you guys next week, I will talk to you guys in the new year.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365.
Listen to the show anywhere.
Anywhere, anytime.
Download it now.
Thank you.